Thank you, Ben. We are in our third part on lament, in a series on lament here. And lament is this kind of this coming to God, coming to the Lord with our pain and our suffering, our questions. Or you might remember that one of the definitions we talked about was this prayer. It's a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And so we want to learn to walk down that path of not ignoring our suffering, our loss, our grief, our agony, our questions, but bringing them to God with complete honesty and turning to Him in that. And so we've been looking at the Psalms for that, and so this is a little bit different series. We're not just walking through this Psalm, you know, in this case today, Psalm 86, but we're observing a particular element of lament in this psalm. And so the kind of acronym we're using is TCAT, or trust, complain, which was last week, and then today we're looking at the component of asking. So bringing our requests in the middle of our pain and asking God to work in those moments. And so I hope that this has been something that you've begun even to practice over these last couple weeks, or think about what it looks like to open up maybe one of these psalms and to pray it to God in the middle of your pain and your questions or your grief. And so I again encourage you to use what God's given us here to express your heart when you're in those moments. So, and that might be looking at something that's happening right today. It might be looking back over the last couple years of struggles and some of the things we've gone through. Or it might be looking back over a loss that maybe you didn't realize how much you've been struggling with that is decades old. So God's given us this practice, this rhythm of lament to help us as a gift. It's really a gift for us. So let's look this morning at this topic of ask. Okay, let's pray together and ask for God's grace in this right now. Father, as we come to your word, we need your help. So we ask that you would help us. Please, Father, teach us how to process our grief and our loss. Teach us how to come to you with our requests in these moments. And use our lament to draw us near to you. Use our lament to mold us into the image of Christ. So right now we ask that you would work through your Spirit in our hearts. We believe that you will. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you see a child getting bullied and you say nothing, we would say there is a problem. If you're aware that a neighbor doesn't have enough food for their family and you don't care, we'd say there's serious issues there. If you know that a judge is taking bribes and condemning the innocent and you stay silent, we'd say there's something seriously wrong. If you see pictures of maybe video of the devastation of a typhoon in, you know, Southeast Asia, and you see homes flattened and children wandering about looking for their parents, and you see all of that and you feel nothing, then we'd say something's not right. And that's part of what we're seeing in this topic of lament. As we talk about lament, we're responding to the brokenness, the sin, the fallenness, the destruction, the death, the injustices in our world. We're responding to that, and we're saying there should be a response to that. And part of our response to the brokenness and injustice and fallenness of our world is that we want to see it fixed. We want to see suffering mended. We want to see the lost found. We want to see justice done, right? And that's what we're talking about in this stage of lament. We're wanting to see God fix things. We know that it's beyond us, and so we are coming and we are asking God to make things right and new, to heal the broken. to mend that which is damaged. And so this stage or rhythm of asking is simply this expressing this desire. We want the world to make me right. We want God to do something about all that we see. And so in some ways, this stage of asking seems natural. Like, of course, we're going to ask God to fix these things that our hearts are so burdened over and grieving over. But in some ways, it's not as natural. In some ways, we realize, if you really think about it, we need help in this stage too, when it comes to asking God, right? For one, it's easy to skip over this stage in lament. We figure we'll just have to do it ourselves, or we'll just have to toughen up and bear it, or maybe we don't think God can handle it, or we don't think He cares, and so we never ask God for help. We never ask Him to meet us in our lament and our loss. Or maybe we have more faith in lesser earthly saviors to help and deliver us in the middle of our grief and our sorrow, our angst. Or maybe we just don't have a vision for the way things could be. We've kind of given up in despair and hopelessness. Or maybe we're just not sure what to ask for or how to ask. And so once again, the Psalms prove a reliable guide for us, a help for us. In the middle of our loss and our pain, they give us a roadmap for bringing our requests to the Lord in those moments. So this morning, we're going to use Psalm 86 as our kind of jumping off point. And we're going to cover 2 points. Number one, how to ask. And number two, what to ask. Okay, pretty simple. Number one, how to ask. And I want to be careful here because I don't want this to turn into a formula. If there's anything we see in the Psalms, is that our lament isn't formulaic, right? It's not some kind of, you know, three-step process that automatically churns out this result, right? We're messy, and sin is messy, and we're talking about a real relationship with a living God. So it's not a formula. The Psalms don't give us that. But they do guide us. They do give us help as we go to ask. And so I want us to notice 4 things about how we're to ask in the middle of our lament. So first, we want to start again with simply coming to God with our real selves, with where we're really at, with honesty. Like expressing and asking what's really on our hearts, right? Not pretending that we want something else, or not asking for what we think we should ask for necessarily, although there's a place for trying to conform what we ask for to God's word, and we'll see that later. But we need to start with this honesty, right? And you see this in Psalm 86. Look at verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. There's an honesty there, right? I am poor and needy. Like, God, I'm going to be real honest about where I'm at, and I'm going to be real honest about what I need right now. I need you to hear me. You ever pray like that? God, I need you to hear me. This is where I'm at. I'm poor and needy, helpless. I need you to hear me, God. We need to come with that kind of honesty. And it's interesting, that kind of honesty doesn't follow a pattern. It's not, again, it's not a formula, right? You know, even thinking about our little acronym, like turn and, you know, complain and then ask. And here he just starts off by asking immediately, like, hear me, right? He's coming with honesty. And so when you come to ask, start here, start with honesty. Secondly, ask with a sense of dependence. In some ways, this is where lament comes from this feeling of helplessness. We have been hurt, and we are wrestling and struggling with things that are beyond us. And so we come helpless and dependent, and we feel our brokenness, and we know we can't fix it. We see this again in verse 1 where he says, I am poor and needy. Right? There's this sense throughout in his request that I need help. I need you to help me, to teach me, to save me. I'm dependent, poor, and needy. Listen to a couple of other passages and just listen to this key of this note of dependence. Psalm 142, verse 6. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Get that sense of dependence? He can't do anything about it. He's helpless. He's needy. Psalm 38, verse 21. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. God, it's urgent. I need you, and I need you now. We don't come asking in smug self-sufficiency. We come in our lament and our sorrow. We come in utter dependence. Thirdly, honesty, dependence. Thirdly, boldness. One of the things you notice in the Psalms, and we've talked about this a little bit, is that there's not a lot of holding back. There's not a lot of like, well, I'm going to wait until I feel like it's the right time to talk to God, or I'm going to wait until maybe I'm in the right mindset to talk to God, or I'm going to wait until I think he's in a good mood or something, right? Like, there's just a boldness. I'm going to come to God because I'm that desperate, and I'm going to come boldly. There's an audacity and kind of nerve in these requests, right? They come very close. It's interesting. They come very close to commanding God, right? But that's how bold they are. Like, God, I need you to do this. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 86. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Do you hear almost the commanding of God? Like, give ear. Listen. Verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Like, he's giving these requests, but they're almost command-like, and you're walking this line, but what we see, you know, there's a line you could cross, right? You could go to a place where you're demanding, pridefully, entitled, or you could be so desperate that you are like, God, I have no other hope. You have to act right now. I need you. And so you ask with, when you're that desperate, you ask with boldness. You see that? And that's where we want to be as we bring our requests in our lament. Fourth, we want to ask with God-centeredness. I wasn't sure the best way to put this, and we've hit on this in prior weeks, but we need to say it again. What we find in the Psalms, as far as how they ask, they're consistently asking in a way where they appeal to God's character and glory. When they ask him to act, they're appealing. This is who you are, God. Act. Help. Why? Because this is who you are, God. Because of your glory. Because of your reputation. Please, act. Help. They're asking God to be who he is. They're recalling his past faithfulness and asking him to continue to show that. Look at verses 4 and 5 here in Psalm 86. Particularly, well, maybe start in verse 3. He says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all the day. And then he says, gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And he says, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. What's he doing there? Be gracious to me. Gladden me. Help, right? This broad request to help. And he then appeals to who God is. And you have really these words that point back to some of the places where God has revealed himself. He talks about him being good and forgiving. He talks about his steadfast covenant love. And he's saying, this is who you are, God. So when we bring our requests, we're appealing to who God is. We're asking on the basis of what we already know about him. Listen to Psalm 25, another lament psalm. In the middle of it, he says, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You see how his prayers are so God-centered. They're appealing to what he knows about God already. So, Lord, I feel like I'm in a pit of darkness. My marriage is struggling. I can't fix it. Help us. Heal us. We know you're merciful. We know you reconcile. We know you change hearts. God, Father, show that now here in this situation. Be who you are. Demonstrate your glory. Those are the kind of prayers we want to pray. How do we want to pray? We want to pray in a way that is centered on God, that is appealing to who he is. That's what we find in the Psalms. We're not asking God like he's a vending machine or a genie or he'll just do whatever we want regardless of who he is. No, we're simply asking and appealing to God to act in according to his character. We're appealing to him. We're trusting his character and nature. So how do we ask? Well, we ask with honesty. We ask with a sense of dependence, we ask with boldness, and we ask with God-centeredness. Number two, what to ask? What to ask? There's a lot, if you go through the Psalms of Lament, I've been meaning to post a list of all the Psalms of Lament. Again, there's many say over a third of the book of Psalms are Psalms of Lament, so there's a lot. But if you go through them, there's a lot of requests there. And some of them use different language, for the same ideas, but there's a lot. But let me give you five requests here that help us understand what to ask for in the middle of lament. Again, it's not a formula, but they are guides. And the Psalms are so helpful because they give expression sometimes to what's on our hearts. Sometimes you don't know what to pray for. And you say, Lord, you pray, like, Spirit, you enable me to pray. You know, as Romans 8 puts it, with groans that words cannot express, right? The Spirit intercedes for us. But we can also use Scripture as part of it to express what maybe is on our hearts and we don't know how to express. And so think about that as we look at these five requests that we see the psalmist bringing to the Lord. Number one is this, hear. This may be the most frequent request. I didn't, like, count them all up or anything, but it seems incredibly frequent that the call just, God, hear me right now. You know, in our culture today, there's this idea of being seen. It's like this, you know, I just want to be seen. And it conveys this idea, like sometimes we feel like we're invisible to other people. No one cares. And in a sense, that's what this request is about. God, I just want to be seen by you. Like, know that you notice me, you hear me, right? Look at verse 1. In Psalm 86 here, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. He's just asking, God, turn your ear to me. Hear me. Hear my words. Verse 6, he again says, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Psalm 102, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of distress. Incline your ear. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. Just asking God to hear. Sometimes that's an incredible comfort. Sometimes that's just where it starts, right? In fact, I'd encourage you to pray this prayer more. One of the big challenges in prayer is to actually believe that God is hearing us. Anybody else find that, or is it just me? Like, sometimes we just go through the motions, and it's like, I'm supposed to pray, and I'll say these words, and if you stopped and thought about it, you're just kind of praying into the air with no awareness, no thought that the God of the universe is actually hearing you, or whether he is or not, right? And so I think this is such a healthy place to just start, to just say, God, hear me right now. And especially in those times where you don't feel like he does hear you. Because there are times like that, right? You don't feel like he hears you. You don't sense his presence every time you get on your knees to pray. I don't. Like, there's just times when you don't, and you don't know if he hears you. And so just starting here with this simple plea to God, hear me, God. Listen to me, Father. Incline your ear to me. Start with that, with this just request to hear me. Secondly, is the request to save. This is, in some sense, a very overarching request, right? And there's different forms of it, and we see this even in Psalm 86, but there's, you know, help, deliver, right? These different language here. But look at verses 2 and 3. Preserve my life. That's kind of this idea of save. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Then down in verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me. Give strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. All of those are pretty similar in this idea. Save, help, be gracious, preserve my life, deliver. Psalm 79, verse 9 is another example. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. See the appeal to God again, God-centeredness there? But and you see all sorts of things here, but you see this save language, right? Help us, deliver us. In the moments of struggle and pain, when you're in the darkest places, sometimes this is all you can get out, is just to God save. God, Father, help. Sometimes that's all we have. And in some ways, that's what the psalmist lead us towards. Sometimes just to pray that, God help, God save, deliver. Our God hears those prayers, as simple as they may be. So hear, save. Number three, teach. We see this in a couple of psalms. We see this here in Psalm 86, also in Psalm 25. But look at verse 11 here. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Now think about this for a second. In both Psalm 86 here, and you can go to Psalm 25, they're both lament psalms where the tone, the theme is struggling, suffering, persecution. And yet in the middle of that, his only prayer isn't for deliverance. That's part of it. He's also praying, God, teach me in this moment, right? Teach me in this moment. That might not naturally be our first thought, right? And notice what here in Psalm 86, what he wants to be taught. What does he say? Teach me your way that I may walk in your truth. God, right now in the midst of my suffering and pain, teach me the way you want me to walk, how you want me to live through this. Use this in my life that I may walk in the way you have called me to walk. Teach me through this pain, in this pain, to walk in your way. And then notice the next part. Unite my heart to fear your name. What's he saying there? Like, give me a heart that has this big view of you. Help my understanding of you to grow, for you to dominate my understanding of reality, your holiness and glory, majesty. Make you take over my heart. Do we pray those prayers in the middle of our loss? That's what I want to do, that in the middle of my loss and pain, my questions, I would say, Lord, I know this is hard. You know this is hard. I don't know what you're doing, but teach me, God. Teach me who you are. Teach me how to live for you in the middle of this. We want to pray those prayers in the middle of our struggles. So, hear, save, teach. Number four, bring justice. Bring justice. When we experience injustice, and to some extent when we see injustice, our hearts burn with a desire to see things made right, for evil to be punished, for good to be rewarded. You think of like a kid who's brother breaks the vase and blames you, and you end up getting punished. And what's going on there? You don't want to get punished, but there's also something deeper where you're like, that is not right. I can't believe he did that. Like, there's this deep sense of justice there, right? And then you bring that to like adult size issues, right? Like your coworker stealing the credit for the work they didn't even do, or a contractor fleecing your elderly neighbor, or a person preying on children in some way, and this there's this sense of justice that is not right, and we should care about those things. And there is a right sense of justice. God is all about righteousness and justice. And so what we find in these lament psalms is sometimes that's the source of our loss, our sense of grief, agony, and questions is the injustice we see around us or we experience in our own lives. And so these lament psalms give us language to pray in those moments, to ask God for justice. In his book, Mark Vrogrop writes this: lament gives us language for talking to God about unfairness, abuse, and hidden mistreatment. We can boldly call upon God to act for the sake of justice. Look at a couple of examples. Psalm 28, verse 4. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Psalm 71, verse 12. God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. Good news about this is that God cares about justice. He is more committed to justice than we are. He proved that on the cross, right? We realized it wasn't, God couldn't just like overlook and forgive sin and no big deal, right? That wasn't it. He cared about justice so much, it was so much a part of his nature, it is so much a part of his nature, that he punished perfectly every sin of his people when Jesus died on the cross. So God cares about justice. This is an interesting one. I will note that justice, a prayer for justice, sometimes we think it contradicts this idea in the New Testament where there's an emphasis, especially on loving your enemy. Jesus talks about that, right? So how can I love my enemy? And Jesus even says, pray for those who persecute you, and at the same time, pray for justice, right? How can I do both? And I want to say, I think we need to hold both together, right? Both are in Scripture, and you think in the New Testament, you even have passages like 2 Thessalonians, where in the opening chapter, Paul comforts the believers with the fact that the people persecuting them are going to get their just judgment on Judgment Day when Jesus comes back. Okay, so judgment isn't just thrown out as a part of the way we think about, you know, unbelievers, and especially those who persecute us. It's still there in the New Testament. God didn't change, we know that, okay? But there is something about loving our enemies, and so can we do both, right? And I think this is where sometimes our prayers get, you know, multi-layered, right? So I'm going to pray for justice. God, bring justice. This isn't right. And I can pray at the same time, and God, I pray that you'd bring this person who's hurting me right now to repentance, right? Bring them to yourself. Let them experience what they need to experience to know you and to change, to be made into a different person, right? So we can pray both of those things, and we can know in the end that justice will be done. Either it will be done, sometimes in some sense in this life there is justice, but it will certainly be done in eternity, or it may be that justice was taken care of at the cross already. We can pray for justice. All right, number five, fifth thing we ask for is we ask God to forgive. As we've seen, there are times when our pain and grief springs from our own sin. And in these times, our lament is mixed with requests for forgiveness and cleansing. So you could think about Psalms like Psalm 32, Psalm 51 that are really pretty pure confession psalms, right? And they're types of lament. But lots of the other lament psalms also mention the idea of our own sin being part of the mix of why we're suffering and the grief we're experiencing. You see, again, that part's complex too. When you think about suffering, it's often our enemies. It's just God's providential working in our life that we have experienced loss, and often it's also our own sin. And so part of the way we lament and bring our requests is to ask God to forgive and to cleanse. Psalm 25, see, again, says this, "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." In Psalm 79, "Do not remember against us our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake." You ever pray like that? When you see your sin is a part of why you're suffering, do you pray like this? "God, forgive. Do not remember against me my sins." See, I think sometimes we don't slow down enough for that. We just want to quickly confess and get over it, and God, take away the consequences of all this stuff and the mess that I made and make it all better. And okay, God, come on, do it. Make it all better because I confessed. I did my quick little confession thing and asked for forgiveness. But I think the Psalms that we see here, like, slow us down again and say, take time to lament, to grieve over what you're experiencing, and then over the causes of it, including your own sin. Come to God. Ask for forgiveness. So we lament and we pray, "Father, we know your love does not stop. We know you're forgiving, so pardon, cleanse me, forgive me, please." And Christian, I want us to understand this today. Do you realize this is before the cross? We stand on the other side of the cross. We stand with the view of how God has accomplished everything necessary for our forgiveness. We get to see it, how it all worked out. How it was paid for so completely. We get to see that and know without a shadow of a doubt that God is forgiving and gracious. We can know that. And so that allows us to come and pray for forgiveness and say, "God, forgive me," with a kind of honesty and a kind of boldness and a kind of confidence that we need. Did you know that? When you come and pray for forgiveness, you can be confident that it will be given. Why? Because God's in a good mood that day? No. Why? Because you've tried hard? No. Because you're really, really sorry this time? No. You can be confident that God will forgive because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because every sin of yours was paid for there in His blood. We can be confident. If you're not a Christian, I want to ask you a question. What do you do with your sin? Can you come to God and ask for forgiveness with any sense of confidence? Like, my guess is if you're here, and statistics tell us that most people believe in some kind of higher power, God, right? You realize there's a God, and say you ask Him to forgive, you know you've done bad things, and so you ask Him to forgive you. Do you think He will? Will He? Maybe. You're not sure? Here's the deal. You can be confident. Apart from Jesus, there is no confidence. Apart from Jesus, there's simply no way you can have this assurance that when you ask for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven. Remember, we just talked about God and his passion for justice, that He punishes every sin. So why would we think we could come and ask for forgiveness and He would actually give us that? Why would we think He would? If He's a just God, He's going to punish every sin perfectly. There's no way we would think that he could do that without Jesus. But with Jesus, there is a reality that God is forgiving and gracious. That if you turn to him and trust him with all that you are, he will forgive you. That prayer, "Forgive me, God," will be answered if you are praying it with Jesus in view. If you are praying it, banking on his finished cross work, you can know that that prayer will be and is answered. You are forgiven. Isn't that a gift? If you're not a Christian, I hope you see how beautiful that is. I hope you want that. To be able to pray, "God, forgive me because of Jesus," and know that at that instant it is answered. And that's good. We urge you to pray that today for the first time. If you have never prayed that, pray that today. "Forgive me because of Jesus." And he will. Come talk to us. We'd love to help you along in that. Pray with you, talk, answer questions, whatever. We're here for you. And Christians, Jesus is the reason that we can come with confidence with all of these requests. We can ask all of these, right? We can ask God to hear us, and we believe that he will, because in some sense, Jesus wasn't heard. He wasn't delivered, right? And because now he is interceding for us so that we will be heard. We can come with confidence with that request. We can come and ask God to save us and believe he will answer us according to his wisdom, because we know he's already answered that on an ultimate level and saved us eternally through the cross. We can ask God to teach us and believe that he will, because he's already shown in the cross how committed to us as he is as his children, and how committed he is to making us more like Jesus. We can ask God to bring justice and believe he will answer us, whether now or in eternity, because he has shown us his commitment to justice on the cross. We can ask God to forgive, I'll say this again, and believe he will answer us, because we know the price was already paid. Forgiveness is already secured. No matter how dark it is, no matter how painful, no matter how long it feels, the cross assures us that God hears us and he will answer us as his children according to his good wisdom and his good pleasure. So here is where we have been headed, Christian. In the deepest pit, in the darkest night, in the loneliest winter, bring your most desperate needs to God and ask him. Ask him. Let's pray together now. Our Father, we come this morning with our needs. We think of our straying children. Think of our broken relationships. We think of our faltering health and chronic pain. We think of the financial stresses. We think of the injustices in our city. We think of the abuse in our neighborhood. We think of just the hurt and confusion and agony in our own hearts and minds, with our depression and loneliness, our grief. We think of our loss of loved ones that will never come back in this life. Hear us, God. Hear us. we need you to hear us. Help us. Deliver and save. Give grace. Lord, teach us through this. Teach us through our agony and our loss. Draw us near to you. Make us more like Jesus in the midst of this. Bring justice. Fix, make right, mend. And God, where we have sinned, forgive us. We look to the atoning work of Jesus. Forgive us. Thank you that because of his work, we can come to you boldly and confidently in prayer. Thank you that we can bring our sorrows and our loss and our questions. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.